how to conquer the fear of public speaking and other coronary threats is going to be our first artifact to evaluate. Public speaking is not a new conversation. However, the recontextualization of public speaking and their fear as an overall process of communication apprehension started to bloom in the 70s with McCroskey's Personal Report of Communication Apprehensions publication. Why does it matter that we look at these ideologies at all? We understand how to act and think and talk through our understanding of the social world. If we as a society deem something unfavorable, individuals will start to think it's unfavorable internally. How does this have any kind of implication towards communication apprehension? Ideologically, how we frame or think about communication apprehension as a culture is how individuals will frame themselves within that conversation. If we think of it as a negative thing and we constantly communicate it as a negative, individuals who might not have ever even thought about that dynamic will already assume it's negative because of their other interactions. This ideological implication can be seen and felt in many different domains. Specifically with communication apprehension, I would like us to turn towards a research study done with English as second language students. This research study measured perceived communication apprehension and performance on speeches. They were able to find that individuals who thought they were going to do worse and were brought into the headspace that their communication apprehension was going to cause a problem did statistically worse than the ones who were never introduced to the idea at the beginning. It also is a self-fulfilling prophecy due to communication apprehension. If someone does not think they are going to be able to communicate clearly, their anxiety and apprehension goes up, and that causes more individuals to struggle with communication. This self-fulfilling prophecy is fed into by ideologies that we cultivate as a culture. So understanding what ideologies authors are putting out into the world can help us understand how we societally view a specific subject. Focusing on self-help is my way to start contextualizing what our culture feels and believes around communication apprehension. Also, it allows me to start observing interventions that we have implemented as well as attitudes that we are unintentionally and intentionally distributing to the populations that might not even know about this as a problem and or feel immediately disenchanted by the idea that these books put out saying that it is easy, it is simple, and it is fast to fix something that we research-wise conclusively know it is not easy nor fast nor simple to address something so complicated as communication apprehension. This is why I've chosen these three books. This is why I believe that this project is very important for us to dive deep into. So I've explained why it is important that we look at these texts. Next, I kind of want to run down how I evaluated this text. Because I'm only looking at ideologies, I don't want to be bogged down by the information that is presented after an individual buys into the ideology or buys the book. So I am focused on the front matter as well as advertisements that I can find around this book or all of my artifacts. How to Conquer Fear of Public Speaking and Other Coronary Threats can give us a first glimpse into the 80s culture around communication apprehension, as well as showing us culturally what self-help was looking for as a way to prop up their ideas and try to match it up towards our conversations around the culture of self-help that we had last episode. The way I was able to identify ideologies within this text is looking at the front matter, the preface, the reviews, everything pre-chapter one. Looking at this advertising material allows me to see how the author chose to advertise their book. Once you've passed that first chapter, you've bought into the arguments that this author has given you. Looking at the front matter specifically, we are able to structure a fast snapshot of what this book might be putting out into our society, as well as identifying what societal norms may have been present when this book was published. Within How to Conquer the Fear of Public Speaking and Other Coronary Threats by Max Isaacson, I was able to identify three main ideological themes by identifying the emotional words within the text, identifying the arguments and the framing of arguments, as well as looking at the art and the tone of the conversations they have in the preface, reviews, and introduction. Repeatedly framed throughout the front matter of this book is recollection of noticing the problem and taking action upon the problem. There are conversations around fear and avoidance of the problem, but one of the largest ideologies that I can glean from this textbook specifically, you have to confront it as a problem and then take action. This confrontation then action model can be broken down into the idea that it is a two-step process, that it is not only for knowing the problem, but actually having to continue and take action towards the problem. One of the clearest examples of this confrontation and action framework is how the chapters are set up. They're set up with blurbs are set up first as a confrontation, how to prepare a speech, and then an action. I don't dance, but I'd love to hold you as you did. Confrontation, what about humor? Action, he who laughs lasts. This duplicity that they continue to allude to could be indicative of a cultural evaluation of processes. I would like to focus us on the reviews of this textbook as well. Each review offers a specific insight into where and why this book has constitutive value in reading. However, in the reviews, they are also explaining, should you buy into it, a world interaction defined and aided by this book? They explain that this book becomes a should, and should is a large proponent of the self-help artifact, as well as they offer a should that we should buy into, and one's self is indicative of that should. Self-help uses should in a few ways, as a framework and as ethics. This can be seen throughout this book, and it explains certain observations around confrontation and action. First, I want to read off what the front cover says, as well as describe a short picture. First, it says, How to Conquer Fear of Public Speaking and Other Coronary Threats. An antacid for knots, butterflies, pains, plus a personal prescription for confidence and success and happiness from, insert 11 names, by Max Isaacson. On the front cover, there is a masculine presenting caricature in front of a podium, sweating profusely, as well as wiping off their face and looking nervous. The front cover can exemplify this fear to humor dichotomy that they are utilizing. They recognize that fear has a physical aspect to it. They talk about knots, butterflies. They show a picture of this man sweating profusely. However, they try to mitigate that fear by also adding humor. So they're equating public speaking to a coronary threat. They're saying there's an antacid for knots, a prescription for these problems that we have with public speaking. Additionally, not just giving you a solution to the problem immediate, but also giving you a lasting solution with confidence, success, happiness. They are talking about a very physical process, and they are equating it to something that can be addressed through medication or prescription interventions. They are using humor to try to pull away from the fact that people are really scared of this. There have been many conversations around why we might be so terrified of this specific skill. However, within all of these conversations, it is always re-brought up that it is an important skill and that we need to address the skill. So this fear-humor dichotomy really does continue throughout this book. Again, looking at the table of contents, talking about something you're anxious about, such as a fear, how to prepare a speech, and then having humor to try to mitigate the fear around it. I don't dance, but I'd love to hold you while you do. Speak professionally and get paid. Money is the root of all evil. These humor-fear dichotomies can also be looked back to advertising techniques, invoking a strong emotion in an individual and invoking conflicting strong emotions in individuals will leave a lasting imprint on a prospective buyer. Now, what kind of implications could we pull from using fear and humor interchangeably? We get individuals who are naturally able to do this skill start looking down and using humor in a detrimental way towards individuals who are trying to gain this skill without predisposed successes. Using humor to address something that individuals may view as a very, very large problem is not the only way to address a situation, nor the only way you can advertise a conversation like this. This isn't the last time humor is brought up in this conversation. Humor is also through the reviews and the titles, even the foreword, explaining Forward March. If we were to expand the ideology that we can laugh about a specific problem because we happen to be able to work through it easier than others, can be detrimental to individuals who do not naturally speak our language, who have natural amounts of communication apprehension, completely undermining trait anxiety, as well as not focusing clearly enough on situation or context. This book frames fear in a very specific way. It is for powerful, successful individuals to speak and get more power and more success. This humor overtly reinforces the idea that this should be an easy process. And when we advertise that it's easy and individuals don't find it easy, there's a disconnect where you lose a lot of individuals who were originally seeking help and interventions. So far, I was able to look at fear and humor to expand and understand why it is important to evaluate the humor we use when talking about something that is a skill that individuals will seek out, as well as forefronting humor in the framing of these rhetors he chooses to use as sourcing. Finally, the theme that I want to argue has the most impact on this book is the use of ethos. He continuously references others' credibility. The front of the book has 11 different names as to his one name. There is 2.5 pages of book references that he upfronts in this text. And finally, I want to highlight the theme of referencing to others to underline the overall mentality of this book. Let's look at the foreword. Forward March. This quote is by Rod McCune. I'm surprised that the phobia surrounding public speaking is at the top of the list of all those things we agonize over. I'm convinced that fear is not so much a phobia as it is an excuse we often use for our own unwillingness to try. This is the foreword. This is the first thing you read before you start into this conversation. A quotation that they have chosen clearly highlight that has physical repercussions to saying that it's just your unwillingness to try. And that does not talk about any of the systematic problems. It does not reference any of the barriers that individuals might face, as well as the histories that might be behind their fear. This reduces public speaking and fear around it to an unwillingness to try, which is ableist. Individuals who are struggling with a very clearly represented physically detrimental phobia or apprehension are undermined by the use of individuals that this rhetor feels is important, as well as the haphazard way they speak about this problem.
When we equate fear and unwillingness to try, we are creating an ableist conversation. Not taking into account how fear is a bodily process that affects individuals completely differently. It can also change depending on your class, race, economic status, gender. All of these things impact what fear looks like to you. And equating it to unwillingness to try completely deletes the conversation around the beautifully intricate bodies that need this skill. Additionally, equating fear with humor and then equating that fear with unwillingness to try, this author is saying essentially, you can't do it. This is something that is easy and something that we can honestly laugh about because you are unable to do this. It's saying, oh, you have bodily fear? Ha ha. Which is extremely harmful to individuals who are seeking help. We can go back to how this humor is used as a self-help technique as long as we've considered it a genre around American culture. This use of humor is standard within the self-help genre. However, using it in reference to a bodily fear without understanding or grunting the inequities that would not make this conversation universal is harmful for individuals who are seeking help. Additionally, let's frame this book within the historical context of its publication. Public Speaking and Other Coronary Threats was published in 1984. Going back to our understanding of how self-help was changing within the 80s, we can see this of jungle mentality into conversations that this book uses. This choice of authors as well as choice of rhetoric around the problem is disenchanting and disenfranchising to individuals who enter into this conversation trying to seek help. Communication apprehension studies have been done, reinforcing the idea that when we say that we are going to completely solve something, or there is an easy path to solution, and that path becomes difficult for situations outside of the participant's control, this can cause individuals to no longer try, or in some cases, regress in the skill capacity. Choosing a textbook as my foundation of how communication apprehension self-help has imported ideas around the overall self-help culture into this very specific discipline was increasingly clear as I continued through this study. This is one of the foundational books where they pulled away from literature being for classes and imported it into the self-help genre. This book was distributed as a textbook as well as advertised for the general public. The choice in quotation to forefront this book gives us a clear window into how communication apprehension and fear of public speaking was seen in the public. Something to laugh at, something to think of as easily fixed, just something that you just had to try harder with. Framing it this way does not give any credence to how intricate this conversation actually is. And we can also see how the self-help one and done, as well as the here is a solution, we need to get it to everyone aspect of self-help can be seen in its first iterations within communication apprehension literature. Finally, you've heard my arguments for the three themes I found present within How to Conquer the Fear of Public Speaking and Other Coronary Threats. I want to take a step back and think about what those themes could imply and how they could impact individuals seeking help. First, the theme of confrontation and action. Confrontation is something that we in American culture have idolized since the transition into the 80s, where it became a jungle mentality. The way to win is to confront and do. Now, applying that kind of thinking to a communication apprehension individual could have many different effects. Having an understanding that fundamentally the way you address something is you confront it and then do an action can lead individuals to either use interventions, see their success, and be good, or use interventions, not see their success, fundamentally not understand why they did the steps that they have been told to do and it still didn't work. Using fear and humor together might seem mundane at the front, but when you associate humor with something as complicated as fear and a phobia, you might step on individuals' toes. And I would argue that this book bulldozes across countless individuals without thinking of any of the complexities that really make individuals seeking help important.
Within my experiences of school as well as teaching, I have found that I become more comfortable when understanding the context and the history around my anxieties as well as my lessons. Coronary Threats was one of the first books I was able to identify as addressing communication apprehension. And this historical context gave me hope for understanding how we have progressed as well as interventions that have been successful. My struggles with communication anxiety are arguably less influential when speaking specifically in my situation about audience anxiety. Evaluating Isaacson's view of situational anxiety allowed me to gain a greater understanding of historical viewpoints of communication apprehension. However, this historical context also allowed me to start thinking about my experiences with individuals using ableist language around my struggle. My communication apprehension arguably stems from my dyslexia, and I have been continuously told by individuals who do not understand the full conversation around my anxiety that it is easy and that it is fine. As I have grown in my studies, I push back at this conversation because framing something as easy or fine or something that is manageable without interventions not only skewed my view and my understanding of my ability, but also framed my hardships as a lack of trying. And I believe that this book reinforces those ideas. This book also makes me extremely happy to see how we have progressed from ableist language, as well as has helped me frame some of the viewpoints of my elder academics and colleagues.
Looking back at some of the research we talked about communication apprehension, we've seen many studies about how students who have to do speeches will often underestimate their abilities if they are presented with the opportunity to fear, or if they're presented with a specific way to go about doing their operations. Equating humor and fear may seem like a good advertising technique. However, it encourages individuals to mock and demean others who do not innately possess equal amounts of skill. And finally, referencing the major speakers of the day, the amount of ethos and credibility he gives out to other authors can date this argument. And it has. The framing of this book and how individuals talk within this book is very dated, as well as how we view fear and view public discourse as well. Because public speaking isn't always standing behind a podium. Public speaking isn't always for motivational speakers, as 3/4 of the reviews occupations are. public speaking is way larger than this book gives credit. And I think that a very large proponent for why this book is dated and limited is because of the over-reliance on other people's information. The information throughout the front matter of this book is brought to you as a cultivation of many different skills and individuals, not the information that the author specifically has created themselves. Now, what could that imply? Well, first off, it dates the book. And I think that that in itself is a very large implication, because this book no longer has complete selling quality within our cultural conversations. It has a great opportunity for individuals of the era. However, focusing on credentials takes our author out of it, but also forefronts the cultural conversations around communication apprehension. And this book immortalizes statements such as fear is an unwillingness to try. And that ableist conversation can be very limiting to individuals who are seeking help. So today, we looked at How to Conquer the Fear of Public Speaking and Other Coronary Threats by Max Isaacson. I went through and explained a few arguments that I've seen ideologically throughout this book. First, a confrontation action model. Second, a humor fear dichotomy. And finally, a reliance on cultural conversations and others to create credibility. Then we looked at those themes and tried to expand what possible implications could be culturally relevant if this book became the prototypical example of what communication apprehension self-help looks like. Today, we went over How to Conquer Fear of Public Speaking, a 1980s book that focuses on communication apprehension in the public sphere. Next episode, we are going to look at Feedback and Other Dirty Words, an organizational book founded around the conversations of small group and interpersonal communication.